It was Friday night. Friday night, we had a party. We had a party for all the volunteers. And me and my, oh, you guys can sit down. I'm sorry. Me and Amy, our heart is that we show appreciation. We talked about honor. Can I preach the sermon on honor? You're going to hear about six sermons today. Here's the sermon of honor that I feel God has for us at this moment. A lot of times in church culture, we view honor as something that needs to come from the bottom up. You ever felt that way? Well, we have to honor our pastors. Thank you for honoring us. We feel the spirit of honor. We definitely feel honored as pastors. But what I felt the Lord telling us to do Friday night was Jesus's example. Anybody know what Jesus did? Come on, the Last Supper, what would Jesus do? Anybody know? Anybody know your Bible? No, I didn't go that far. I didn't wash feet because it's winter season. Everybody's wearing wool socks, you know. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't go that far. But I believe to follow Jesus' example is to allow honor come from the top down. And so we wanted to honor you as a volunteer, all those who work in our church, those who serve in the nursery. How important it is for us to provide nursery. It's a lot of you don't have kids at that age, but what happens when parents come in who have nursery kids, who want to receive something from God? They want to trust that someone's loving on their kids. What about children's ministry across the way? Make sure their kids are safe. Make sure they're taken care of. What about the worship ministry? What about the musicians? What about the greeters at the front door? What about every person who serves? And what the beautiful thing about it is we said, let's just have a dinner and throw a party. We don't really know what to do, but we'll figure it out. And I was thinking, everybody likes fried chicken, right? I mean, that's from my dad, right? So we'll just go get a bucket of chicken and we'll say, but no, this is what Lord did. He laid it upon a family's heart to cook all the food for us. And I'm just going to turn this way. She's going to get mad at me. But Stephanie, do you mind just standing up, raising your hand? Can we love on you for just a moment? Come on. The meal was delicious. We were calling her out of the kitchen on Friday night, and she refused to come and let us embarrass her. But thank you. Faith, thank you so much. Lewis, thank you for letting your family work so hard and all that time. The meal was over the top. And the beautiful thing about it is just we're just able to celebrate and have fun. And you want to say anything?
So we wanted to do it last year, and it just didn't work out. And when I sat and saw everything come together on Friday night, I was just overwhelmed by all the people there that we get to serve alongside with. And we are just so thankful. And Stephanie approached us a few weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, and she was kind of talking about it, and I was like, I was getting even more excited, And I knew she had it in her, and her family. Just wonderful, but she still overexceeded our expectations, and I thank you, because I know a lot of work went into that, a lot of time went into that planning. It wasn't just coming together Friday, and we thank you for stepping up and serving everybody. Thank you.
It was awesome, and this is what we preach, and this is what we're trying to put into practice, is that everyone would be able to use their gifting and calling here. Let this be a safe place where they can be used by God. It takes all of us to do our part. Amen? Amen. It takes all of us to fulfill and use what God has equipped you to do. Now, here's the beautiful thing about it is God didn't tell someone who can't cook to come and cook for 50 people, right? He told somebody who's got experience, who made it look easy, because I get stressed out cooking even for my little family, let alone 50 of y'all. And some of y'all, can I say this? Some of y'all are harsh critics, you know? Some of you ain't so loving, especially when it comes to food and you're hungry. Come on, let's be real. And it was beautiful because Stephanie was able to step up and use her gifting and calling. Thank you, Stephanie. And so then the challenge goes around the room is, what has God equipped you with that this can be a place where you can be used by God? Amen? Thank you all so much. Thank you, sweetie. We want to talk for just a few minutes about joy. If you will, take your scripture out. I have a very brief message today. I want to talk about joy. Joy. It's hard to say joy without smiling a little bit, right? I mean, you could, like you've been sucking on lemons and talking about the joy of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit bubble up joy inside of us today that we could share this good news, this gospel, this joy to the world. We read about it last week, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and peace will never end. I want to talk about joy. Joy to the world. Last week, we talked about a thrill of hope. We talked about needing a little bit of hope. Anybody need to pull on that rope again? That rope of hope? Some of us are struggling this week. Some of us are going through challenges. Sometimes we just need to pull that rope. We tied that rope off on the cross and said, this cross will withstand any trial and situation of our life. See, my hope is not in this old barn wood. I literally found this wood out behind a guy's barn. My hope is not in this wood. My hope is in the Savior who gave his life on that cross for me. He's not on that cross anymore. He rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And I can see this picture of heaven right now. Jesus is not sitting back, wore out from work. Jesus is not sitting back like we are at 5:07 on the way home fighting traffic. Or some of you, it's like 10:07, right? Maybe 5's a little too early to get off work. Jesus isn't tuckered out. He's not wanting to put his feet up. He's not wanting to find his lazy boy. Right now at this moment in heaven, Jesus is eagerly awaiting to be sent by the Father to come back for us. This is the reality. This is the joy we're talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about when I say happiness. Happiness. What is the definition of happiness? Happiness is you taking me out and buying me my biscuits and gravy, right? The side of bacon and letting me get as much coffee as I want without my wife knowing how much coffee I drink, right? I don't ever do that, maybe with Josh, but I don't ever do that with anyone else, right? That is happiness. Happiness is something that can fulfill right now, this moment, this instant. But what's going to happen is I'm going to get hungry in a couple hours. I'm going to be looking for some more biscuits and gravy. Be saying, hey, let's do that again. It will never last and sustain. Things can bring happiness. Don't get me wrong. Material possessions can bring happiness, but they're not going to last. Some of you got a lot of happiness locked up in your garage. And some of you also have a lot of happiness in a storage building or two, right? Maybe it's a shed in the back. You got so much happiness in there, you don't even know what's in there. The things that bring us happiness. Anybody ever been up late, you know, drinking so much coffee like I do? Sometimes you're flipping through the channels at night and you come across this newest, latest, greatest gadget we gotta have. They make it so easy, right? The longer you wait, the less the price gets. The quicker it gets shipped to you, I'll go ahead and buy that, whatever it is. Right? This solar power popcorn maker. I don't know. I'm just making that up. Right? Solar power. I don't know why I need a solar power. In case the electricity goes out, and it's not night, but it's day, and I need some popcorn, right? At that moment, I need it. I got to have it. And then all of a sudden, I need to find a place to store it and put it away. It brought me happiness at the moment, and now it's like foolish to even say I bought a solar power popcorn machine. And it's amazing the way God's depositing things in our life that we just drink on for a little bit, we eat on for a little bit, and then we want to go store it away and find a new place for it. But I'm telling you, what God wants to deposit into our hearts today is farther than any cute little sentence can bring right now. It's more powerful than any emotion we can experience here on earth because God's Spirit speaks down into our soul. This is God's design, is to bring joy into our soul, not into our mind, not our emotions, but into our soul. Somebody just say, joy. Joy. This is the same joy found in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of joy that'll be for my people. This is not a great happiness of for my people. No, this is joy, the joy of the Lord, joy to the world. This is causing us to rejoice. The King has come, and in the form of a baby, the fullness of joy is born to all who would believe. This story of the world meeting Jesus in the flesh is a story of finding fullness of joy in God. Let me read some scripture over you. You might have to jot these down. We don't have it in the screens. We don't have it on the screens today. This is just some scriptures about joy. Psalms 9, verse 2. I will fill with joy because I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalms 16, 11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Psalms 30, verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. Can I read this scripture over you one more time? Psalms 30, 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. We sing this hymn. I love this hymn. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. At times we get so familiar with things in our life, it loses its true meaning. Sometimes we need to distance ourselves and allowing us to really be appreciative of things in our lives. You want to appreciate your car starting, let it not start. You want to appreciate the heat you have, let it turn off at 1 a.m. and you wake up and it's 50 degrees in your house. You want to be thankful for all the possessions you have, let there be a little shakeup on your job and you get told we don't need you anymore. And all of a sudden you start prioritizing different things in your life. At times we get so accustomed to the goodness of God that we tend to, not even intentionally, taking for granted what Christ has done for us on the cross. And how do we do? Oh, I'd never do that, Tim. I would never do such a thing. But we do it in the way we live our lives. We do it in the disobedience we do towards God's word. We do it in the judgment that fills our heart towards other people. The jealousy and the envy that we have. We are treading through this precious blood of Jesus because of selfishness, greed, lust, arrogance. And we find ourselves taking for granted what Christ has done. See, this is such a difficult time of year to hear words like this. But let us not rush through this time of year. It's so easy to say, oh, okay. But some of you are busier than you've ever been. Some of you are working more overtime than you ever worked just to buy another toy for your kid. There ain't no judgment there. I'm a little jealous. But hey, sometimes your kid don't need another present. Your kid may need your presence. Meaning you're there, not more presence, okay? That's not T.S. Sometimes your spouse just needs to know. Baby, you're my girl. Come on now. It's awkward looking around the room saying this. I need to look at Amy, right? Sometimes your spouse just needs to know that. Sometimes men, oh my goodness, don't go and get me. I'm going to get in trouble if I go too far down this road. Sometimes we just need to hear, you know, baby, you're my world, right? You're my rock, right? Sometimes we just need to be told these things. And it's amazing to me the way we always want to be told things, but we're never willing to be used by God to tell others. I love this. Michelle, I love you because God is just, he's messing you all up. Because you can't even go back to the old Michelle no more. God has called you out. We believe scripture that you're a new creation. We believe scripture that old ways are gone. That old Michelle, she's gone. And now you're walking in the newness of Christ. And we believe that when this happens, this is called life change. Some of you get uncomfortable with life change. Let me just comfort you right here, okay? This is what we do it all about. This is it. Revival. Somebody say revival. Revival is a word that sometimes we chase, but I want to chase the one who sparks that revival, which is Jesus. And here's what happens. Revival means it's a turning back to that thing within. It's a turning back to Christ. Revival's not found in a song or in a movement or in a feeling. It's found when lost people are found, right? I once was lost, but now I'm found. This is revival. This is what we chase after. And here's what happens. This joy, this message, this good news, boy, it's fresh. We want to tell everybody. Sometimes us believers, we got to dust off this good news. We don't ever share it with anybody anymore. We got to dust that off. We got to be carriers of this good news. And we say joy to the world. It didn't say joy to Christian Chapel. Can I preach here a moment? I know this is even tougher. I need to just stop. Joy to the world. Joy to those who are lost and hurting, not those who are found. Joy to those who are searching for answers. Joy to those who think the presents are going to fulfill. And then when January comes, it's the same brokenness. Joy to those who think just another good glass of whiskey is going to bring the answer I need. Joy to those who think, if I can just find something to take this edge off, and then I'll be okay. It's that never-ending chase of happiness that the enemy dangles in front of us all. And let us come back to the altar and accept the joy found in Jesus. And the question today, the joy that you're seeking, will you make room for the King? Because joy is not necessarily found in anything we do. It's in the very presence of God in our lives. This is the everlasting joy we talk about. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? Anybody know their scripture? Love,
joy, peace.
I mean, this is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm not handing out $100 bills hoping you'll feel some joy today. But God is handing out His presence for us to be filled in our soul and allow the Holy Spirit to work. The question is, what are you going to do? You're going to make room for this King. Will you receive this King in your heart? Let me just tell you that joy can only be found in seeking Jesus, not things. Not in the things we can count and accumulate on earth. Some of y'all need to get rid of some stuff. We're going to do another Super Saturday, hopefully soon, right, Denise? We're already collecting some stuff. Some of you need to empty out your garages and then the storage rooms and then the, you know, we'll come pick it up and give it away to people, right? And I know it's silly. I'm being funny. Some of you are carrying burdens this morning you need to get rid of as well. Some of you are thinking hope and peace can be found in your boss. I hope he can bring you the hope and peace. Probably not sustained. If you're sitting next to your boss, don't elbow him, right? If your spouse, some of you look in relationships to find hope and peace. I'm just telling you, your joy will not be found in just a relationship with another human here on earth. Can't be found in the latest job. If I can go up the ladder farther, let me just remind you, it's found in the work of Christ on that cross. That's where joy is found. Joy, being separated from our sin. I love this. Can I just end here? I don't really know where we want to go, but maybe we just want to have a little quiet music going. I feel that if you just let me share this and then we'll dismiss. I know we've been talking a lot. See, the scripture tells us this good news, it's the work of Jesus on the cross. See, the law was given for man to follow and abide by. The law was given in the Old Testament. And what the law did was it disqualified every single person. No person could fulfill the requirements of the law. This is our way to access God. This is our way to be freed from our sin, and no human could fulfill the law. And then what God did was He noticed that this law would not fulfill. It would not allow people to be in right standing with God the Father. So what He did is He offered His Son Jesus. And this is the beauty of what Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus was found completely pure before God. You understand this now. God gives the law to man. Man can't fulfill it. So then God gives Jesus. And what Jesus does is He fulfills and completes the law. He was tempted in every way. Say, well, He don't know my bills. He was still tempted in every way. Well, He don't know how the way women dress nowadays. He was tempted in every way. Well, you don't know the pressures of life with finances. He was tempted in every way and was found without sin. Jesus completely fulfilling the law. And then what God does, we're still guilty. We're still separated by God. So then what he allows his one and only son to do was to become the sacrifice for us. That there's no way we could have done it within our own hands. If it was, Jesus would not have needed to come and die on that cross. And what God did is he sent Jesus to die just for you and me. He sent Jesus to die for our addiction. He sent Jesus to die for our hypocrisy. He sent Jesus to die for our jealousy, our envy, our temptation to cheat on our spouse, to steal that money, to lie to the government, right? I'm just trying to cover what the Holy Spirit, I don't know what your sin is. I'm not trying to call your sin out. Whatever that sin is. And this, something we could have never done with our own hands, God provided Jesus. And instead of our hands being filled with sin, Jesus gives us life. He takes our place. He becomes sin. Scripture says he who knew no sin becomes sin for us. He stands in our place. And what does he require of us? I'll tell you what, I'm not too much of a business savvy guy, but if I was a businessman, I had some employees, I would start requiring a lot of them if I paid the price for everything they needed in life, right? I say, no, you're going to work 15, 16 hour days. You don't get a day off. I need a lot from you. I've invested a lot in you. You better bring it back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you business people, don't work your employees 16, 17, 18 hours, okay? Let them go home. Here's what Jesus requires back from us. Love and devotion. Giving of our lives. It's a beautiful, crazy exchange. Next week, we're going to talk about God's love. We're going to try to wrap our minds around love. We talk about the thrill of hope, joy. We're going to talk about love next week. I don't understand God's heart. God doesn't demand us to worship him. God doesn't instill things in our lives that we can and cannot do. He just simply offers love to us and gives us a free will to respond back to him. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Are you going to make room for him in your life? Say, Tim, I'm already saved. We're pressing really hard about this salvation thing. It ain't about being saved. I believe there's a call over our church. There's a deepening by the Holy Spirit to say, do you want more? Are you ready for more of God in your life? This is the path to getting more. It's through surrender and devotion. We surrender to you, God. We're devoted to you. There's only a few more days left in this year. Only a few. I ain't going to keep preaching for another 20 minutes. I'm going to say this and I promise I'll be done. Some of you are looking at me with those glass eyes like, okay, come on now, let's go. Cowboys don't play till 3. We got 3 hours. Sorry. Man, this is a challenge that I read 2.5 weeks ago and I cannot shake it. We only got a few more days of this year. Don't lie and don't raise your hand. How many of you are already starting to make a New Year's resolution already? Like, okay, I'm going to get in the gym more. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to love my wife a little better. I'm going to be nicer to my kids. I'm going to get home earlier. Whatever you're already thinking. It's funny the way we're programmed. I stop with the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, what are you going to do right now? You only got a few more days left in this year. What are you going to do right now? Let's end the year better than we started. Can we do that? Let's end this year better than we could have and not make resolutions, but let us make devotion towards God. And who can we touch and minister to in the next few days? I have a hit list, and I told someone this the other day, and they said, maybe you shouldn't call it a hit list. But I do. We got a hit list. We got people we pray for. We got names we call out before God to say, God, you go after them. You chase them down. You allow them to experience of your love. We've already been able to minister to some of them. Almost all of them have let us pray for them. The Holy Spirit is drawing them, but you know what they say? I'm not ready just yet. I'm not ready. Don't worry. I'm going to come. Don't worry. I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. Not yet. Not yet. In all of our lives, we have an opportunity to touch and minister to those, to spread this joy. this love, joy to the world. Will you stand all over this place? Lord, we commit to you right now. Lord, we feel your Holy Spirit drawing us to a new level of devotion, a new level of surrender, a new level of sacrifice. And we just say yes and amen to you, Lord. Lord, we lay before you our own selfish desires, our own passions of this life, passions of this world. And Lord, we want to accept your call and purpose over our lives. We say yes and amen to you, Lord. Lord, we ask that we would make room for you in our lives. We would make room for the King. I say, Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me. God, I make room for you in my life. I'll turn the TV off. I'll say yes to you. I'll turn my laptop off and say yes to you. I'll give you devotion. And it's not a legalism. It's not a can't do. It's I get to spend more time with you, Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Can we sing, Let Us Become More Aware? Let's just sing this out before God, and then we're going to close.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.